Good afternoon. This is the conference call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2011 financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Dr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon and welcome to the quarter three conference call of DiaSorin. I will make a comment to the number, and then I will turn to Andrea Fernandi, who is going to guide us through the financials for the quarters. I think it is fairly relevant to understand some of the changes in quarter three, which make this result different from what we have seen in the prior quarters. Now, let's first start with the United States and the U.S. market, which has contributed with a negative growth of 5% in quarter three compared to last year. As you can imagine, this result is linked to the performance of vitamin D in the U.S. If we compare quarter three volumes of 2011 versus quarter three volumes in 2010, volumes are flat. However, there has been a negative price effect of -3%. However, in order to understand the trend in vitamin D testing, it is relevant to compare quarter three volumes versus the peak of vitamin D testing, which happened in Q2 2011. Now, if we look at the business from that perspective, we see in quarter three volumes versus quarter three versus quarter two down by 13%. And this is a result of seasonality. However, it is also a result of reduced doctor visits, as we had a chance to comment thoroughly during the Investor Day presentation in London and in New York. So, summarizing the situation in the U.S., we have seen a slowdown in volume of vitamin D, and we continue to see a price effect, which is the result, as stated, of the contract extensions that were pursued by the company in the previous quarters. Needless to say that there is still no effect on competition since the Siemens assay has been just approved, and I expect that we will be able to quantify this effect only at the beginning of next year. As far as Europe is concerned, the result is very good and in line with our expectations. Europe is up 7.6% versus Q3 of last year, and notwithstanding the difficult economic conditions in Europe, we see strong growth in some of the primary markets. Germany, which is leading with an 11.5% growth. Israel is growing for us at 20%. Italy, which is for us, as you know, an over-penetrated market, is still growing close to 5%. So, the trends in Europe are doing fine as a result of vitamin D competition on one side, which we were able to fend off. Volume increase on vitamin D, and this is what makes Europe different from the U.S. And last but not least, the effective launch of the DiaSorin XL platform in the European market. Now, as far as DiaSorin XL is concerned, as of September 30th, we have 61 XL placed, of which 25 are generating revenues. Company expectation is that by December of 2011, we expect 100 systems installed, of which 70% generating revenues. So, what's happening is that the installed base is turning from a validation mode, and this is related to the high reliability products that we are now selling on the DiaSorin XL into revenue-generating instruments. Last is Nurix. the Nurex line, commenting on the Nurex line is fairly complex because the comparison from 2011 to 2010 is complicated because since for 6 months of 2010 we didn't own the business. However, as far as volumes are concerned, volumes for Nurex have been growing 3 to 4% year on year. It is below our expectation. However, there is a growth in this Nurex line. The growth below expectation is related to tough economical environment in certain geographies, and I believe we have already discussed this at length, and stabilizing the business from the transfer that we manage with Abbott. I believe that in our 2012 forecast for this line is in line with what we have described in our long-term plan during Investor Day. So this line is an asset for DiaSorin and will contribute to our growth and brand reputation on HIV and hepatitis C. However, it is very important to remember that as far as the EBITDA contribution is concerned, we confirm that the EBITDA contribution is over 35% as a result of a successful restructuring that took place in our UK plant at the end of 2010. Now, I would hand over to Andrea Senaldi, who is going to drive you through the financials, and then we're going to take the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What I will do in the usual fashion is to take you through the presentation, on the slides of the presentation, starting from slide number one, where we have a recap of the highlights of the quarter. Now, before going into the details, I have to draw your attention on a couple of events that we need to clarify as far as the quarter is concerned and the comparison with the quarter three of 2010 is also concerned. And I'm referring to the movement in exchange rates and the initial sale of Nurex products. Now, as you know, in the quarter versus the comparable quarter of 2010, the dollar has severely depreciated by about 10 cents to the euro, but also has followed a trend which is particularly adversely affecting our own financial performance, in the sense that despite of an exchange rate which was on average 1.41 to the dollar, at the end of the quarter, namely on September 30th, where the crisis on the European sovereign debt started hitting, the dollar revalued significantly at 1.35. So this is affecting in a double way the company. In one way, because it depresses the top line and the other operating indicators. On the other hand, because it affects adversely the policy of hedging our exposure against the U.S. dollar. And I will dwell again, onto this effect as I go through the results. The second effect that I have to draw to your attention is the fact that in quarter three of 2010, which was the first quarter after the closing of the Nurex deal, we initiated in July with the sale of the initial stock that we had bought through the purchase agreement in order to enable Abbott as a distributor to continue distribution on our behalf. That accounts for about $3 million out of the $108 million that we sold in quarter three of last year. And therefore, some of the indication in terms of growth will be done as an offset of this amount. So let me go back to slide number one. As Carlo commented, revenues at a constant exchange rate and excluding the Nurex stock sale have been growing 3.9% at constant exchange rate, which leaves a turnover fairly flat versus quarter three of 2010 at 0.1 growth rate. In the 9 months, however, the growth rate at constant exchange rate is higher than 16%, and it's close to 14% at current exchange rate. Despite a certain weakness in quarter three of 2011, we continue to register a significant margin on operating results improvement versus the year-to-date of 2010. EBITDA has grown 17%, so more than proportional to the turnover in the first 9 months, and EBIT has been growing 15%, more than 15% in the first 9 months, whereas in the quarter we have recorded a 0.6% growth of EBITDA and a slight decrease of EBIT in absolute terms by 1.4%. Let me again remind you that the devaluation of the dollar not only hits the top line but also the results. As far as net earnings is concerned, where we have a decrease quarter on quarter by about 14%, I have to remind you that this is particularly affected by the role of financial items, and particularly the mark-to-market value of our own hedge against the fluctuation of the U.S. dollar, which because of the exchange rate at the end of the quarter has been negative versus a completely opposite movement in quarter three of 2010. There is another one-off event that we need to take into account. In the quarter, we have had additional an increase in the tax rate by about 1 percentage point due to an adjustment on previous quarter on the U.S. tax liability. Last but not least, let me talk about placements. As Carlos said, we have installed 143 new liaisons and liaison excels in quarter three, and this number is not including some 36 liaison excel which have been installed already at customer premises but are still in validation phase, and therefore, since they are not yet generating revenues, they have been excluded from the calculation. This brings number of placements to 414 in the 9 months, and our total install base of liaison to 4,055 instruments. As we move to slide number two, and we go through the P&L, as we discussed before, our net revenues, excluding the effect of the initial stock sales, is about flat, so 105.2 versus 105.1 of last year. And as reported, so including the new stock sales, we are slightly down by 2.7% current exchange rate. Gross profit margins is increasing significantly versus previous year. We moved up from 68.6% to 71.1%. Operating expenses are increased versus previous year, clearly, in quarter three, and as a consequence of the flat development of the top line, it has increased also as a percentage of sales. But we have been able to control operating expenses to the extent that both EBIT and EBITDA as a ratio to the turnover remain positive and remain consistently positive. EBIT margin has moved up by from 35.7% to 36.1%, although in absolute terms is suffering the effect of the exchange rate that I was mentioning before. And EBITDA has moved up by 41.2% to 42.6%, increasing also in absolute terms. The net profit, as we said, moved from, or compared with the 24.3 million last year, and we have reported almost 21 million this year. Now, if you adjust for the two events that I mentioned before, so the difference in the mark-to-market value of our currency and the difference in the one-off event in tax, the net profit would be absolutely comparable in absolute terms to what we recorded in quarter three of 2010. Let me just make a few more comments on slide number three about the revenue breakdown. Chemiluminescence, which has been growing at 15% in the first 9 months of the year versus previous year is recording a 5% on current exchange rate basis, quarter versus quarter, which has been affected by some 4.5 percentage points versus previous year. So, in a nutshell, Chemi Luminescence continue to grow double digit versus the, even in the quarter. We continue to see a decline in the ELISA sale, net of the New York sales, clearly, and we already commented the number of placements. All in all, the contribution to our total portfolio of revenues of the liaison line, excluding the New York sales, which would not make it comparable year on year, is up to 74% versus 71% last year. As we move to the slide number 4, where we comment revenues breakdown by geography, as Carlo already mentioned, Europe is growing 7% versus the comparable quarter of previous year, 7.3 at current exchange rate, at constant exchange rate, pardon me. Latin America is growing 17% versus the quarter 3 of 2010. And I have to remind you that in the quarter, we also suffer a devaluation for the first quarter in a row, a devaluation of the Brazilian reais. Asia-Pacific is growing 23.5% at constant exchange rate, 21% at current. And North America, which is recording a decline, as Carlo said, by 4.5 percentage points at constant exchange rate, is also significantly affected by the U.S. dollar. So as reported, the growth of the turnover in North America is close to 13%. All in all, this adds up to and if you include the slight decrease in the sales of the Murex quarter on quarter, this ends up to a shortfall of 2.7% versus previous year at current exchange rate and plus 1% at constant exchange rate. Carlo already commented some of the performance in the individual markets. I would like to add China, which is growing at constant exchange rate at more than 40%. Brazil, which at constant exchange rate is growing close to 10%, and Mexico, which although is offering still a minor contribution to the turnover, is growing significantly and continues to grow at 23%. In the quarter, we have also recorded a nice performance of our distributors, which as far as the area of Europe and Africa is concerned, grew by almost 14%, and Latin America, where we continue to enjoy the success of opening up a new distribution agreement. In this area, in this region, distributor sales are growing by 36%. The profile of profitability in the quarter, we already commented. Gross profit is growing in absolute terms by plus almost 1 percentage point. So it's moving up as a percentage of sales from of some 2.5 percentage points. EBITDA is comparable to last year, and EBIT is slightly below, although the ratio to the turnover is improving by 1 to 0.5 percentage point. And the net results, we already explained how the negative movement of exchange rate, the one-off tax event, and the positive movement of last year has affected the performance in the quarter. Although, let me just remind you that all the effects on financial items that I discussed in the past are evaluation effects, and they are not related to a true shortfall in the value of our stock or a realized shortfall in the value of our stock of currencies. Just to give you an indication that the volatility of the US dollar exchange rate to the euro would have offset by now the negative effect that we recorded at the end of last quarter. As we move to slide number 6, which is the 9 month profit and loss, so the cumulative year to date, net revenues have been growing 12.5% versus previous year, 13.7% if we adjust for the initial sale of the New York stocks. Gross margin is up by 1.2 percentage points from 70.7 to 71.9. with a growth in absolute terms of 14.5 percentage points. Operating expenses are up slightly more than proportionally than the turnover, so the ratio to the turnover has increased by half a percentage point. All in all, the EBIT and the EBITDA are up significantly by 1 to 2 percentage points versus the first 9 months of 2010, with a growth at EBIT level from 109 to 126, which equates 15%, 15, and a growth of EBITDA, which has moved from 125 to 146 in quarter three of 2011, with a growth of 17%. And all in all, and despite the fact of the currency movement that I mentioned before, the net profit is up by almost 15% versus previous year, from 67 million to 77, so up by 10 million. In slide number 7, we have just recapped the key numbers of our balance sheet. We continue to monitor closely the development of our working capital, which has remained fairly constant versus the balance sheet at the end of the previous quarter. We have improved our net financial position, which was at the end of 2010 positive for 33 million. At the end of September, is positive for almost 44 million. And this, let me remind you, is happening after in the year we have delivered dividends to our shareholders for 22 million, and we have purchased treasury shares for more than 25 million. So the cash generation, which is indicated in slide number 8, has been an operating cash flow in the first 9 months at 79 million before capital expenditure of almost 19 million. And the cash and cash equivalents that the group is holding at the end of September is 69 million euros. Last but not least, before I leave the floor to the usual Q&A session, on slide number 9, I would like to remind you that we have started at the beginning of October a plan, an additional shares buyback plan that so far, on top of the 750,000 shares that we bought at the beginning of the 2011, accounts for additional 717,000 shares, which have been purchased for a total consideration of almost 18 million. The plan, the buyback plan, will continue, which has been interrupted because of the blackout period before publishing the results. Has been will be restarted after. Today, up to the current authorization that the board of directors has issued of 20 million euros in counter value. That's all I wanted to say on the presentation. I would now leave space to a Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the conference call operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Andrew Olenov from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Three questions. First, on the market, I was just at the JIB conference in Paris earlier this week, and the uniform feedback I'm hearing is not just that you're seeing some market slowdown in volumes from less patient visits, like Quest says, in the U.S., but also in Southern Europe, you're seeing ministries of health encouraging doctors to do less test requisitions. Are you seeing any slowdown so far in your Southern European business, or do you have any concern there? Question two is more of an accounting question, which is looking at where current exchange rates are, given that the net interest performance was such a material reason for net income disappointing, can you give us some sense of where current exchange rates, it looks like net interest, would come in on the year and perhaps how we should think about that? And then question three is on vitamin D. Can you tell me if you've seen any impact so far of Siemens' entry into the U.S. market? Thank you very much.
Andrew, I will take the two questions about market and vitamin D, and then Andrea is going to cover the one on the earnings effect. of exchange rate. As far as vitamin D is concerned in Siemens, I think I made a comment in during my presentation. No, we don't, and I don't expect to see any visible impact in Siemens until the quarter one. And this is quite simple to understand. They are bringing the product to market, and I don't expect to have an impact on lost customers for the reason being that we have contracts with these accounts. I expect, however, when they are going to place vitamin D on their install base in the U.S. To see a drop in volume to some of our accounts that today are benefiting from send-outs from these labs, and they're not going to get the send-out any longer. They're going to get, because that volume is now run on competitors' systems. As far as the Europe is concerned, as I said, I'm quite pleased of the performance of our European business, notwithstanding the current conditions. Yes, we see, not necessarily only in Southern Europe, more attention to budgeting. However, because of the availability of new products, launch of new products in Europe and the Excel, I think that our European business is not suffering necessarily from that today. So the trends in our major markets are good. One remark that I think I made already has to do not necessarily with sales and volume, but with payment terms. Quite explicitly, in certain geographies like Spain and Italy, we see a slowdown of payments. In Spain, slowdown is an understatement, meaning that they don't pay any longer unless there is a legal action against the hospital. In Italy, we go through factoring without recourse, and so the net effect so far has been the increase of the spread which the factoring agency requires in order to buy out our receivable. Andrea?
Okay. Andrew, I'm sure that you guys follow as well as we do the current volatility of the U.S. dollar exchange rate versus the euro. This is entirely due with the financial situation in of the European community and the EU itself. Therefore, I'm clearly in no position to tell you what will be the exchange rate at the end of the year and how you should evaluate the effect on quarter four. But let me help you out in saying that quarter three closed with an exchange rate of 135, and the negative effect that you've seen in the in terms of unrealized exchange rate differences and unrealized mark-to-market evaluation accounts in our financial items for 2.3 million negative in the quarter. So if quarter four was to close at a similar exchange rate, so at 135, that amount would not hit the quarter performance again. If the quarter four was to close at a similar level as where it was before, so 139, 140, you would see the reversal, so a positive effect of 2.3 million in the financial items in the quarter. But again, we are all talking about, always talking about accounting effects, not cash effects.
So every 5 cents of movement is about 400,000, 500,000 euros in impact to your net interest line.
Yep.
Accounting.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sorry, for me, Andrew, for me, this is very relevant to stress because I've seen some of the comments that came back from some analysts that completely missed the point about the net earnings. Okay, so I think that we need to understand you need to pay attention very carefully to the accounting effect versus the real cash effect on this.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
The next question is from Romain Zana from Exane. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. First, my question will be on the vitamin D pricing. And especially as you recently guided for a 7% pricing decline per annum, while if I'm right, you mentioned during the call almost 5% impact in the U.S. So I was wondering in what extent this 7% decline that was guided may look optimistic, given we have not seen the main impact from competition so far. Second question will be on the organic growth for Liaison, excluding vitamin D, if you could give us more detail about that. And same question with Elisa, excluding Murex. And
excluding?
Same question with Elisa, if we exclude Murex. So what is the underlying growth for the Elisa division? And lastly, if you just can give us a flavor of the percentage of sales that vitamin D currently stands for you. It used to represent 1/3 of sales, so where do we stand now?
Okay, listen, I hope I understood correctly your question. Now, let me start from vitamin D pricing. Vitamin D pricing, I gave an indication. An indication was that if you compare pricing Q3 2011 versus Q1 2011, so you look at how pricing is going in 2011, the decrease is -3%.
Okay.
So honestly, and this has to do with the U.S. Honestly, I'm missing your comment on being positive, being negative about vitamin D. But this is what the 3% is today. And as far as our projection of -7%, I still hold that projection true.
Okay, so
as far as volume is concerned, we said that Q3 versus Q1, so if you look at what happened to volume so far, is -4.3%. Volume in the U.S. I'm talking about our U.S. business. I'm not available to comment overall on the vitamin D volume and price effect worldwide, because that would be a Sudoku of grandeur size, which I'm not, I think is making this very complicated. But as far as the U.S., which is very relevant, because as you have seen from our reporting numbers, it's the first time in the U.S. that we see a decline of the business in dollars. You need to understand and value this decline as far as vitamin D is concerned. Now, the second question is Elisa ex Murex. Our Elisa business ex Murex has been historically declining.
Yeah.
Because these are then products which are not necessarily strategic, cash cows, products that we cannibalize with the Liaison technology every time we have an opportunity to do so. And just to give you a number, in so far the decline has been roughly 15%. Please remember, this is not necessarily lost sales, because every time we have a chance, when a tender expires and in Europe, and we move technology from the Elisa to the Liaison. Now, the last question is?
Actually, there was another question regarding the organic growth on Liaison if we exclude vitamin D.
No, that number we don't report. We've never given that number in our analysis.
Yeah, any flavor on that?
No flavor, we don't report.
Okay.
And the last one is?
And the last one was regarding the vitamin D proportion of sales, or also an ID, but you'll probably answer me that you don't report as well.
No, I think we have commented on that, saying that that represents around 35% of our overall business worldwide.
Yes, so that would mean it has been stable.
Excuse me?
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the line is not very good. I was saying that the proportion of sales is currently, is actually stable over 1 year.
Oh, vitamin D, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Guillaume Van Rentergem from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I've just one question, if you don't mind. So we know that you have renewed a portion of your long-term contract. I'm just wondering what portion is left. I mean, have you come through more than 50% of your long-term contract in terms of volume or less? And this renewal of contract has led to some pricing decline, and I'm just wondering what extra pricing decline we may expect in the coming quarters.
I think that we have already provided this answer a few times, including Investor Day, but let me repeat it. We said that as far as the U.S. is concerned, 70% of our business is under contracts which have been renewed. However, we expect, and we continue to expect so, that the net result is that there is going to be a decline in pricing of 7% per year. Now, if you look at the worldwide contribution of these, we see decline in the years of pricing around 7%, growth of volume in other geographies. Net-net, we plan that the vitamin D franchise will continue to contribute positively to the growth around 2.2% per year going forward.
The next question is from Brigitte de Lima from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just two questions from my side. Just on your expectations for the 4 year, given that you haven't really changed the revenue guidance, it assumes that revenues will grow by nearly 8% in Q4. So I think it's not very clear to me where that turnaround is coming from. I mean, has there been a significant improvement anywhere in Q4, or what are the main drivers for your expectations for Q4? And then going back to Murex, also the top line, you said that the business is currently growing at 3-4%, but you remain confident that you'll see the sort of 7% growth from next year. Can you just clarify what the main drivers are that will accelerate growth for Murex business? Thanks.
Okay, let me comment first on Murex and then on quarter four, because I think the comment on quarter four at this point can only be quite short. As far as Murex is concerned, as I said before, I believe that we spent some time learning the business on one side and transferring the business from Abbott. As part of this transfer effort, we had we signed up contracts with the Abbott distributors throughout 2011. So as soon as we had the clearance of distribution of our products in a certain region, we transferred the business directly from Abbott to ourselves, and we started negotiations with these distributors. For that reason, I believe that some expectations in regions outside Middle East and Africa, which is a different story, were too high. Because in the transfer of this business, I think we lost some of the momentum, and it took longer than we expected. However, I believe now that we have a better grip on the Murex business, on the way the blood banking business is conducted. We do have solid agreements with these distributors, and therefore I believe that we're going to realize the potential of the Murex line next year. In the territories of Asia Pacific and South America. Now, different question altogether has to do with the Middle East. In the Middle East, there are where we had some good business with a surfer, Diasorin first, and then with the Murex line, especially in Egypt, in blood banking business. That business has been completely frozen. So I assume, and we put in our forecast in 2012 that this business is going to resume, but we have been told it would resume, but so far we have not seen any sign of life in terms of that region. Last but not least is some other areas of the Middle East where there was business transfer. There have been delays in tenders coming from Abbott, but that, is, I think, is more to do with delays rather than fundamental questions about the different countries. Now, let me comment on quarter four. We gave an outlook on quarter four based on certain assumptions that we made. I'm talking about the top line now, vis-a-vis the United States. So the question of the quarter four is whether the U.S. Will recover in quarter four or not, and has to do with the fact that the fundamental vitamin D business, or the volume effect that we have seen so far in quarter three, will not be repeated in quarter four. So that is the main underlying risk associated with our forecast for year-end results in the U.S. It has all to do with the performance of the U.S. market.
Can I just clarify? We're in mid-November, so I would have thought that you've seen how the fourth quarter is developing. Have you seen a turnaround in the U.S. business? Are you still hoping for an improvement towards the last 6 weeks of the year?
Listen, let me tell you why I'm quite reluctant to make any comment, positive or negative. We sat here in August 4th, and since I'm not delusional, we upgraded our forecast in August 4th year-end, if you remember, and we confirmed our top line, because we were sitting in Q2 on over 115 million euros in revenues for the quarter and 51.7 million of EBITDA. And at that point, we came back to the market saying, we believe the business is going as expected, and the profitability is more than expected, so we increased our EBITDA expectation. Now, let me tell you that what we registered after that was a sudden stop and freeze of the U.S. market, which I never experienced in my life before to that degree. So am I going to give you a positive outlook on a good October in the U.S.? No way. Nor if we see it in mid-November. So I think that we really need to understand what is happening through November and December to the U.S. We need to see and understand what happened to certain other markets where we operate with other lines, and then we'll be able to give you better visibility. And believe me, this is not being a sandbagger or being conservative. I think it's some realism in today's tough economical environment.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question is from Elisa Corgi from Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, please. Probably a follow-up on the previous questions. Can you quantify the degree of uncertainty which is in your guidance at this point in time? Because really, it's six weeks before the year's end, so you should now be able to quantify the impact of negative growth of vitamin D eventually in the U.S. Thank you.
Listen, the only thing I can do is to reiterate exactly what I said. I'm not in the position today to make any projection vis-a-vis the year end, either be good or bad, because I don't trust any longer monthly results. So I want to see confirming trends, and then I will be able to make a comment.
Okay, and the next question is about your Liaison XL rollout. Did it start in the U.S. Or in emerging markets, or are you still developing the new product in Europe? And also, I'm sorry, the number of Liaison XL that you expect to be placed by year-end. Thank you.
Okay, I think that we've commented several times about the Excel strategy. The Excel strategy was a strategy which was carried exclusively in the European environment and Australia to some selected account because of the vitamin D business that we have in Australia and the threat posed by competition. As far as the U.S. is concerned, we always stated that the U.S. plan is a LabCorp plan, so the rollout at LabCorp. And as far as the LabCorp is concerned, we are in the validation phase. And so the plan for the U.S. continues as we have foreseen. As far as my expectation for year-end, I said that I expect to see over 100 systems installed, of which 70% generating revenues by December 31st.
Thanks. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Patrick Fuchs, RSM. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just a question on the gross margins. I mean, you saw an improvement on gross margins, and I assume much of that has come from low margin, no margin, or negative margin of the Murex stock sale. Could you give us a view if underlying profitability in gross margin was able to improve despite the pricing pressure, and maybe it's just a word on the French revenues. I haven't seen that because that's also important European market. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Patrick. I will take the the question on margin. I did not understand the second question, but let me start with the first. The gross margin, if you compare the performance in the quarter, the gross margin has improved by 2.5 percentage points. If you will remember, last year we did sell the initial stock with a very limited margin. So even if you adjust it for the 3 million, you would still see and record an improvement at gross margin level. Now, that is related to the usual drivers that improve our profitability more over the decrease in the price point of vitamin D. And let me remind you what the drivers are. The first one has to do with the leverage on the depreciation of the installed base, the improvement of the portfolio, the mix in the portfolio of products that we sell between ELISA, RNA, and CLIA. And last but not least, the operating leverage within our manufacturing site. Now, could you just repeat the second question, please?
Well, just a view on France. I haven't seen that disclosure. How because France, you've been quite growing nicely on and taking benefit on the lab consolidation in France, but I missed this point. If you could mention what is going on in this big European market.
France, year to date, is growing over double digits. I think it's 12% over last year. So it's a market where we still enjoy a good growth. However, one of the problems with France is that it was one of the markets that last year, when Roche went off the market with their vitamin D, we gained lots of business from Roche accounts. So if you compare the quarter result to the quarter of last year, you will continue to see a growth, but you're not seeing a growth of 12% because you're now comparing a quarter where last year we had the full fledged effect on the Roche capture business.
And maybe a last question on your expectations of number of competitors in the U.S. I saw the Abbott data on vitamin D. They were not too convincing, I would say. Do you still expect Abbott, Siemens, and Roche to be in the market in 2012 in the U.S.?
Sorry, one headache at a time. So I don't know, because I was surprised myself by Siemens, because I would have expected Siemens to come later in the quarter. The difference between Siemens and Abbott is that Abbott was guided through a PMA process rather than a 510K, and I have no idea why. Roche, same as above. I don't know exactly where they stand. I have to say that the company that today clearly put more effort in vitamin E throughout the different markets has been Siemens. Okay, so I think, as I said, one headache at a time.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Mrs. Stephanie Botchev from Pascal Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sorry. I think you gave the answer, but the line was poor, so I couldn't get it. Could you please repeat what percentage of your customer base is, I mean, which part of this contract has been renewed already for some midterm term?
70%.
Okay.
70.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
Thank you, operator.
Thank you.